What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What?
for this.
It's a little after 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, where for this next hour programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. Time now for Talking Animals on KUCI.
Little field mice living under the house. Never eaten much tough life for a mouse. And if you think you're gonna be spared, you're wrong. Field mice, head lice, spiders in the kitchen. Don't think twice about whatever keeps you itching. Ice water, fly swatter, gonna get you through the day.
Is real good. That's music from the Eels with a song called Fly Swatter as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole enchilada is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number. Call us at any point in the show, not only with comments on the news items and other aspects of the show, and our guest later will be taking calls as well, but also, that's the number, for calling in donations to the KUCI Fund Drive. Yes, it's that time of the year, folks, where we set aside a little over a week or so to try to raise funds. Of course, we're a non-profit public radio station, and a damn fine one, I might add. But of course, like many stations that fit that description, we operate on the kindness of strangers, basically. So we'll hope that you'll call in 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And some of you that are donating may end up on the air with me, and some that are supposed to end up on the air with me may end up talking to people who are taking donations. But it's all going to work out. And another way, actually, to donate is through our website, KUCI.org. And right at the top of the site, there's a little section you can click and enables you to donate online and also see some of the cool premiums. Because if you donate anything from $30 or more, there's all kinds of cool premiums that we have, from CDs, a huge array of CDs, to gift certificates. We got tickets to concerts and comedy shows, including Daryl Hammond and Dave Chappelle, a bunch of other cool concerts. We've got gift certificates from restaurants, Burn at the Talking Animals, a couple from Native Foods, the really cool vegan restaurant nearby here, and others. So all kinds of reasons to tune in and make your pledge online, or again, call us here at the station and we'll sort out who wants to talk on the air and who wants to donate. Hopefully everybody wants to donate. So anyways, other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our website at talkinganimals.net. And again, that's .net, folks. So also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rip-snorting rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a smooth balance of those elements, but clearly the heart of the program and every show we broadcast, by the way, is archived on our nifty website at talkinganimals.net. And that's the interview that we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today our guest is Tammy Grimes, founder of Dogs Deserve Better, a national education, legislation, rescue organization dedicated to freeing chained and penned dogs and bringing them into the home and sort of integrating them more into the family. So we'll hear all about the history and mission of Dogs Deserve Better and much more when we speak with Tammy Grimes in a few moments. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for a weekly look at items of interest in animal news. I want to remind you the phone number again to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss, announcements, maybe an event or fundraiser coming up that we should know about, observation, of course, any stories you might have spotted that also should be part of the show. It'll all be most welcome. And again, also, if you want to donate here at KUCI, the same number, it's multi-service, that number. It's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. So, also, I want to tell our listeners, we've got Carl in this studio with us, intern Carl, learning the ropes here. How's it going, Carl?
Doing very well.
Good. And so you're right in the midst of the training process here at KUCI to end up on the air?
Yeah, putting on my internship hours and all that.
Cool. And what kind of show are you hoping to have here once you pass through the rigorous training that we provide?
You know, I still have no idea.
Cool. All right. Well, you're just, that's the thing. You're sampling shows and you're sitting in on shows and getting the hang of stuff, and that's a good way to do it. So anyways, we'll hear from Carl hopefully periodically throughout the show. But turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck, to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So with that said, let's talk turkey, as it were. So here are some items from the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. And let's see, we're going to start off with kind of a thing I mentioned last week that I was going to, it was a really cool conference last week that I left not long after the show, actually last Monday, and I'm going to give you a little summary of that as soon as we get some more cool tunes to play underneath our blabbing. A little technical disadvantage here, so we're improvising on the music here. So anyway, it was called the War on Wildlife Conference, and it was presented last week by PAWS, the Performing Animal Welfare Society, in San Andreas, California, at one of their three sanctuaries that they run. And this was at ARC 2000, their amazing 2,300-acre sanctuary. And so it was really well done. I mean, it's basically looking at the issues about, you know, captive wildlife, basically, and variations of that. So first of all, the panels themselves were held in one of the elephant barns at R2000. And indeed, when you first arrived there, it's huge, sprawling, beautiful setup. But the first thing you see is, at least the first thing we saw, was three Asian elephants totally having a huge, huge area to just wander and graze and get in a nice little long, sort of lake pond area. And so not a bad setting to listen to animal issues. So that was really cool just in its own right. And some of the panels included everything from sort of the breeding and dealing of exotic wildlife, which, you know, has all kinds of implications, including something we've talked about a number of times here in Talking Animals, which is that tiger rescue so-called sanctuary in Colton, California. And on a very related note, the last panel of this conference was the tiger rescue case study, just talking all about what happened there. We've talked about here on Talking Animals really almost weekly since it unfolded. But basically, the remaining 39 tigers that are still at the Colton facility under the amazing care of Chuck Tracy and a huge battalion of volunteers are going to be relocated to R2000. So we saw the their tiger habitat, which is not completed, but it's in the home stretch, and it's just gorgeous. It's 10 acres, and it's full of just all kinds of great trees and other areas and little bodies of water as well for the tigers to hang out in and roam free, and it's going to be awesome. So I think the first half of that batch of tigers moves, I think, mid-June, June 14th or thereabouts. So anyways, other aspects of the conference included information on the Endangered Species Act and other sort of related to animal legislation. Really cool panel on zoo welfare and design, because, you know, of course, a lot of people in the animal world are not really pro-zoo, I think, for fairly obvious reasons. But there was a zoo director there from the Oakland Zoo, which is actually one of the few really respected ones within the people who are real animal advocates. And a few other people, including a guy from Zoo Check Canada, whose duties, among other things, involve traveling around the world to sort of look at and assess zoos. So that was really interesting. There was stuff on advocacy, different ways to get laws and local ordinances passed to protect animals, cetaceans, a whole kind of follow-up thing on the Keiko whale story and the sad end that came to a few months ago with Keiko dying, but other plans by that same organization to try to free up other orcas and related cetaceans. So stuff on the exotic pet trade, really interesting, and it got pretty heated, actually. Panel on welfare and ethics, the changing the veterinarian's role. And there was three veterinarians and another panelist, and some spirited discussions, shall we say, from the audience. So another cool thing on sanctuaries and zoo elephants, and again, those of us who are elephant lovers in particular found that really interesting. So it was really, really cool. And again, put on by the folks at PAWS, Pat Derby and Ed Stewart, of course, are the founders of PAWS. And we're hoping, actually, that next week Pat Derby may be our guest on Talking Animals. So we're trying to work that out. And if not, she'll definitely be on a future very soon show. And some of the other panelists at the Wildlife Conference are definitely going to be on the show. So that was that. Also, I noticed kind of a cool story. If you happen to have some extra dough laying around, like, you know, like this guy does. Let me just read you a bit of this. Thousand Oaks philanthropist Ed Hogan is creating a sanctuary for some forgotten victims of last fall's wildfires. Horses burned or disabled in the disasters there. Moved by stories about injured horses, Hogan plans to build a $5 million shelter in an exclusive hidden valley next to the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area. The sanctuary will be devoted exclusively to the care and rehabilitation of wounded, abused, or aging horses. Quote, after the big fires a year ago, I thought, these poor animals burn and hurting. Something has to be done to help them, Hogan said this week as he petted Merlin, one of three Arabian horses he keeps at the Ventura Farms horse ranch near Lake Sherwood. The 15-hands horse rescue sanctuary would be built on a 22-acre ranch 9 miles from Malibu called Rancho San Francisco, purchased last month by the Hogan Family Foundation. Hogan said he named the site after St. Francis of Assisi, patron saint of animals and the environment. Hogan, chairman of a Westlake Village-based travel company, said he was further inspired by a story about dozens of wild horses that were seized in Santa Barbara County in March after being nearly starved to death by their owner. So you see that news items like the Talking Animals news and other reports can actually pay big dividends for our animal friends. So, and also this kind of reminded me that we don't do enough about horses on Talking Animals, a shortcoming I intend to rectify, starting within the next few programs with the local organization. But more about that later, or at least soon. Another interesting story that couldn't help but grab my attention, perhaps yours as well, this is, I think from a few days ago, actually, but still, An alligator, this is from Dateline, as we like to say in the news biz, Deltona, Florida. An alligator dragged a 12-year-old swimmer underwater in a lake, but the boy punched the reptile and then swam safely to shore, authorities said Thursday. Malcolm Locke, who was treated for cuts and scrapes, was bitten Wednesday while swimming in Lake Diana near his grandmother's house just north of Orlando. He told officials he saw the alligator's tail first. It was coming right at me, he said for Thursday. Malcolm, who was 5'4" tall, said he tried to swim away, but the alligator, which is estimated to be 6 feet long, attacked his head and pulled him underwater. It took a bite out of my head and a big chunk out of my ear, Malcolm said. He said he punched the alligator and it just squirmed away. He swam to shore and a neighbor drove him to the hospital. So Trapper was sent to the lake to remove the alligator, and that's what happened, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, that's good. I mean, they tell you you should punch a shark, but more than a few comedians and others said, well, how do you exactly do that? But this guy at least punched an alligator, and it worked. So, anyways, got time for a few more items, but it's also time for a sort of mid-news animal quiz, true, false, and let's see. We'll get a bit more music going here, and then we'll dive into that. Okay, so you know how this works. It's a true-false question. The first person that calls in the correct answer at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI, gets a prize. And we're not just talking about any just crummy old prizes. Carl, do you know what kind of prizes that people can win if they're lucky enough to be a winner on Talking Animals?
Not yet, but I'm sure you'll tell us.
Correct. Carl, you're made for the broadcasting biz. Anyways, among the things are T-shirts from various animal organizations. We have a copy of Shirley MacLaine's book that was co-written by her dog, by the way. So we love that. We've got CDs, including one from Ian Anderson, the Jethro Tull guy, who was a guest on the show a few months ago. But also, I just got something that PETA just put out. It's called Liberation. It's songs to benefit PETA, and has about 16 songs from various bands, kind of more sort of punk oriented and other cool things, including Goldfinger, The Faint, Good Charlotte, Desperacitos, Anti-Flag, The Used, District 7. Anyway, so it's pretty neat. There's a bunch of really cool songs in there, so you could possibly win one of those. We also got some other cat toys recently, actually in the same shipment that we got the PETA stuff from. And let's see, what else do we have? We have handcrafted necklaces with charms, including elephants, rattlesnakes, dolphins. We got leashes, we got safety collars, we've got an umbrella, we've got stuffed toys, we've got other cat toys, dog toys, accessories, and cool stuff. So, anyway, so keep that in mind, not only when we're playing this quiz, but later when we play Name That Animal Tune, that there's some cool prizes at stake. So, anyways, we're going to make this one really simple, kind of as a nod to our elephant friends up at ARC 2000, just elephants generally. So, true or false, elephants are wonderful swimmers. True or false, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. First person who calls in with the correct answer, it's their choice of those fabulous prizes. So we may come back to some of the more news items as time permits, but we probably should move along to the Comedy Corner, and then we'll be joined, hopefully, by Tammy Grimes. So that seems like, I think, our plan, but I'm just going to have to... get ready here, because we had difficulties earlier, so we're just going to have to...
wing it a bit.
We have to wing it a bit. That's exactly right, because down a CD player or a mini disc player, we had to improvise further than we thought. But anyway, so we may come back to the news, but let me just remind you again that if there are ever any news stories or announcements or events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@aol.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@aol.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, perhaps redundantly so, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site at www.talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks. And join the email list. Just sign up for that so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. We hope you'll also find actually archives and synopses of all the shows we've done here in Talking Animals, assorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces and more. So please stop by and take a look around the site. Again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which, as always, of course, involves an animal-oriented piece of comedy. This is Eddie Izzard with a portion of a piece called Mad European Cows on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
And cows, our British cows, the old ones could kill, because they have mad cow disease, you know? We found they went mad. They went totally mad because they were fed cows. You know, they're supposed to eat grass. Yeah, remember that cow eat grass? But they were being fed cows. A cow was fed to a cow, and that cow was fed to another cow. That cow was fed to another cow. And just like the Russian doll thing, instead of a herd of cows, you had one huge Zeppelin cow who was mad. And then the farmer filled that cow full of helium and took it to market on a string. Just to show off. You know, I don't know. And the cows are herbivores. They don't even eat vegetables. They just eat herbs. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Because they chew the cud, yeah? They chew the cud. They take food in. They partly digest it. They bring it back up as sick. And they chew that. But you know what sick tastes like when it comes... You know, when it goes, ugh. But they never show that in their eyes, do they? Whereas if we were chewing the cud, we'd be going... But they've got disciplined cows, they're trained. They're just like dancers in that way, you know? Dancers, again, they don't show it in the eyes. But this is when they're on point, you know, that the pain or the strength, keep that strong thing. Not, they don't chew their own sick, dancers. They just... It's just the discipline thing. Cows and dancers are very... Okay, it's a bit weird, but it's true. So, anyway, we killed all our cows. We had 3 cows left in Britain who were not mad. Are you mad? No, sir.
All right, that's Eddie Izzard with a portion of his bit called Mad European Cows. Here, taken from a CD entitled Circle. The Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you are indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at www.kuci.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way, and some of you perhaps arrived through our swell website, talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Let's see. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Tammy Grimes, founder of Dogs Deserve Better, a national education, legislation, and rescue organization dedicated to freeing chained and penned dogs and bringing them into the home. So let's welcome Tammy Grimes to Talking Animals. Tammy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Duncan.
Hi, welcome to Talking Animals.
Thank you.
So I often start these interviews asking about history, like someone's background with animals. Did they grow up with lots of animals? What type? That kind of thing. But something tells me that in this case, we'll wind up covering that ground even if we jump in more directly. So what is, beyond what I've just said briefly, what is Dogs Deserve Better?
You pretty much covered it. We are... and education, legislation, and rescue organization. We are working to get dogs off chains, out of pens, and into the family.
And what? When did you start the organization, and what sort of prompted it?
I started it in August of 2002, so we're at about 2 years now.
And was it a specific incident or a string of circumstances and events that kind of led you to...
I started this organization because of a dog named Worthless.
Worthless? Is
yes.
That what you said?
Yes.
Wow. That sounds like a guy that could use some help on a few levels, yeah.
Well, to me, it's very symbolic of...
Of course.
You know, the whole attitude that goes along with the chaining and penning of dogs. So to me, it's kind of, you know, very apropos that was his name. and I lived near him for about 6 years. And actually, when I was a child, I did have a, we had a chain beagle. So I think that this that kind of started my thinking, because I never felt that was right, you know, even as a young child, but I never did anything about it. So when I watched this dog worthless every day, it just really ate away at me until finally I felt like I just have to do something about this. I have to take a stand against this, because I just couldn't watch it any longer.
And was it, I take it, like just a neighbor or someone quite near where you lived, where you were exposed to this that regularly?
Yeah, he's about a quarter mile up the road from me, so every time I drove by, I would have to see him. So I saw him probably 2-3 times a day.
Wow. And how widespread is this problem, you know, overall? I mean, obviously, you know, not just this local situation with Worthless and maybe some parts of your history, but you must have felt at some point, wow, this is happening on such a large level that I got to take action.
Well, you know, it kind of was the reverse of that for me. What happened was I thought, well, I know it's in my area, so I, you know, initially started to just take a stand for my area. You know, like, I didn't know how bad it was everywhere else. I just knew that here we had them, and I needed to do something about it. But turns out it's everywhere, you know, every state in this nation and in many other countries. It's, you know, a very widespread issue.
And how is that, I mean, how is that quantified? I mean, other than just kind of anecdotally and observing, I mean, or is there something more tangible than that?
I've been able to find no statistics on it, and I guess it kind of makes sense because, you know, who goes around counting the number of chain and pen dogs?
But, sure.
You know, it's not a questionnaire on any kind of census or anything
right.
So,
yeah.
You know, to me, it's pretty much at this point, I think it's impossible to quantify how many there are in this country, and I wish that we could.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell our listeners, this is Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and we're speaking with Tammy Grimes of Dogs Deserve Better, a national nonprofit education and legislation rescue organization dedicated to freeing chained and pen dogs and bringing them inside, into the home. So you can join the conversation by calling us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So in looking over your website, which, by the way, we want to let listeners know that, too, is www.dogsdeservebetter.com. It seems like you're also kind of advocating a pretty aggressive effort on the part of you know, individuals to, I guess, sort of do what, not unlike what you did with Worthless, which was to sort of you know, investigate and then confront neighbors, or at least those in your neighborhood who do keep their dogs chained or pinned.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a grassroots effort, but the, you know, the whole point is, okay, here's the problem. What are we going to do about it? So we're constantly thinking of ways to bring this to attention, to bring it to the people's attention, bring it to the nation's attention, you know, so it's an ongoing effort to think of new ways to help alleviate this problem.
Sure. And I guess at the same time, because I'm sure there's quite a few people who would feel uneasy, sheepish to say the least, about confronting a neighbor. So I noticed also another approach that you guys recommend that's obviously far less confrontational is to simply provide you guys with the names and addresses of those folks that are apparently keeping their dogs chained outside or penned outside, and then you guys, I guess, will contact these people.
We typically send out a letter and a brochure in the mail, and we find across the board, and I don't blame the people because I was the same way, you know, it's scary. It's very scary to approach somebody and say, you know, you need to take better care of your dog, you know, how can we help you, or that kind of thing, and people don't want to do it. So that is one of our basic services that we provide. If they email or call us with an address, we send a letter from us and a brochure saying, you know, please reconsider the way you keep your dog. Here's some facts about chained dogs. You know, what can you do better? That kind of thing.
And generally speaking, I mean, you know, just in broad strokes, what percentage of people, like, respond favorably and what gets sort of huffy or indignant and, you know, just...
If I were to guess, I would say about 5% are favorable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 10% are angry and let us know about it, and the rest we never hear from. So
All right.
I don't know if some of them just make changes, because a lot of times that's what happens on our end. We'll tell people, well, get back to us in a couple weeks, let us know if anything changed, and we never hear from anybody.
Yeah, which, like you say, doesn't necessarily mean they aren't improving the situation.
Exactly.
Just not
there could be improvements and they just don't let us know, or they could be ignoring it altogether. But you know, we can't stop and say, oh, well, it's not working 100%. It's never going to work 100%. So we just have to keep trying whatever we can.
Yeah. Know? Well, and it's interesting, too, because in thinking a lot about this, you know, let me just pretend to sort of play devil's advocate, because I mean, I could just see, at least among the scenarios, I mean, let's say that I'm not an animal lover, which of course is not true, and let's say I am something of a jerk, which I hope is not true also, and through, let's say, I don't know, an unexpected death in the family, I end up with the possession of, you know, Uncle Clancy's 15-year-old dog, who's unpredictable enough, so maybe he's a danger to our baby, which actually is true also, I mean, that we do have a baby, he sheds all the time and is incontinent. So I keep him chained outside. Can you see my predicament and why I would make this decision? And in that case, is your point still, well, then he just shouldn't be living there, even if I wouldn't necessarily be thinking of adopting him out?
That would be what we would encourage, you know.
For me to adopt him out to someone else, or have you guys rescue him and find a better home.
Yeah, exactly. And typically, What has happened to me over and over is I do get these 15-year-old dogs because they're happy to have someone take them off their hands at that point. And then I certainly can't find them a home, so they stay here with me, you know.
Right. Tammy, can you hold on one sec? We might have a caller that might want to join us.
Hi, you're on the air
live with on KUCI with our guest, Tammy Grimes from Dogs Deserve Better.
Yes, I have a question for Tammy.
Tammy, are you still there?
Sure, yeah.
Great. What's your...
Oh, hi. Thank you very much. It's such a worthwhile effort. I was wondering, it must be hard enough to go around the neighborhoods, but I see so many of this going on in commercial places, you know, even marketplaces. And I was wondering if they've branched out to those areas at all, or has anybody?
You mean businesses that apparently have dogs that are chained?
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
That's a very, very good question.
Yeah,
because I see it more than I do in the neighborhoods. It seems in neighborhoods they're really behind a house, whereas, you know, if you're driving around anywhere, you often see dogs, you know, chained or penned, and it bothers me terribly. So I was wondering if anything was ever done in that area.
Well, we treat them the same as, you know, an individual having one. So we will send them, this, you know, the same letter or a slightly modified letter. But, yeah, we absolutely address them, too. We've already had angry calls from some businesses we've addressed.
I see. Well, that's good to know. Then I'm definitely going to check out the website. Thank you very much.
Thanks
for calling. And also, let's say back just briefly to my devil's advocate, you know, jerk guy.
Yeah.
Because I know also, I gathered that at least here in California, where it's legal, whether it's right or wrong or not, mm-hmm. to chain this dog as long as he's got access to food and water, mm-hmm. water and shelter. So, I mean, again, do you find that people are just saying, hey, you know, we're at work, that's the way it is, it's California, at least it's not, you know, freezing temperatures and sort of tough luck, mm-hmm. but I mean, how do you intervene there? I mean, obviously those people and that hypothetical person being me is missing a lot of the points, so how do you kind of respond to that and try to educate them there?
I guess I just try to keep them talking, you know, mm-hmm. and I keep trying to find out more and say, well, you know, how about if he came in, you know, X amount of time a day? You know, I will keep trying to work with them to try to get something for the dog. But it is a lot about educating. And I definitely find that everybody who calls me, they have 101 excuses.
Yeah.
You know? And at first I used to believe them all until the neighbors would say, oh, that's not true at all, you know. Many, many people tell me, oh, the dog's in at night every night. And the neighbors will say, no, the dog's never in. So, you know, I guess I've learned to take everything I'm told with a grain of salt, and it's kind of sad because there could be times that I'm really being told the truth and I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So I find that there are a lot of stories that go on, but I try to keep focused on advocating for the dog no matter what, you know.
And, sure.
And so even though this guy, you know, may have certain circumstances, what can we do better for that dog? How can we get a better life, you know?
Right.
If he really doesn't want the dog, then maybe we can find somebody who will take that dog even though it may only live another 3 months, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
So there's always options, and if we can, we will really try to get that dog out of there.
And it would be happening when my hypothetical jerk act is over, but for either genuine jerks or people who are just ignorant, can you tell us, like, some of the actual consequences and effects of leaving a dog chained outside for extended periods of time?
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of the case that's going on in New Jersey now. It's called Joe's Law, but there's been three or four towns in New Jersey that have recently enacted chaining laws because of one dog. It was a boxer named Joe, and I believe he froze to death out in the snow, but he was very thin, too, and pretty much starved. And I guess there's video and everything of them, you know, trying to dig this poor guy out of the snow. And it raised such an uproar in New Jersey that they, you know, now towns are passing laws there. So poor Joe gave his life, but he did bring a lot of awareness there. You know?
Yeah.
So freezing, chains growing, or chains and collars going into the neck because of neglect. You know, years of neglect, the dog grows. People don't even notice that he's outgrown his collar and it's growing into their neck, you know, so dogs have died from that. Dogs starve to death out there. I mean, somebody just sent me a really graphic video of a dog that was abandoned behind a house and left chained and just lay there and starved to death. So there are just really terrible things that can go on as a result of the chaining and the whole neglect that it, you know, purports.
And also, too, Tammy, I mean, isn't there just, you know, of course, a number of other, you know, effects, including don't dogs often become much more aggressive if they've been chained like that?
The statistics say about 2.5 to 2.7 times more likely to bite. I mean, they just become, they're not socialized, they can become more territorial. And I even got bit going up to a dog because I knew better, but I ran into her area and she just came up and bit me, you know, right on the knee. And she's not really an aggressive dog, but that's her territory.
Yeah.
And you don't come running into her territory. And, you know, they become very territorial because that's the only space they have.
Sure.
And it scares them when somebody comes running in there.
Yeah, you know? Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, well, we've been sending out a lot of press releases because a lot of children have been dying from chained dogs, you know, and people think, well, they're chaining their dog to keep it from running around the neighborhood, which, yeah, you don't want it running around the neighborhood, but they're still killing people that way, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's a combination. I mean, they are getting more aggressive, but, of course, they're totally living without any kind of love or social, interaction, or, you know, so I could see how all those things kind of, the confluence of those things could make for a pretty ugly scenario.
It's been happening more and more, a lot in the Carolinas. They're seeing a lot of dog bites, and it's mostly children because the children are going up to them trying to, you know, pet them or play with them, and the dogs are just angry, you know, and they're attacking. So it's really not pretty.
You know, the way the information is presented on your website, again, dogsdeservebetter.com, suggests that some visitors would arrive at that site because they're currently keeping their dog chained or penned. Now, are you guys kind of a referral or resource for local or regional, even national organizations for people in such situations, or is this kind of aimed at the people that you have sent those letters to that we talked about earlier and kind of just recommended that they take a look at the information that you do provide on the site?
Well, it's kind of a hard area because we try to do both on the site. We try to address educating people to stand up against this and try to educate the people who may come there because they do have a chained dog. So it's kind of a hard situation because you're trying to get both sides of the fence in here.
Right, right. And I gather some people at the same time are kind of struck by what may appear to be kind of a fairly small or narrow focus of the organization, but gosh, it just seems so so important as we've learned here. And in fact, I don't know if you know this guy, he was on the show several months ago. He's actually a musician primarily, Richard X. Heyman, but he's one of the kind of the guys in dog and cat really rescue in New York City and surrounding areas. And he, you know, as kind of an offshoot of his tales of just going around every day, you know, rescuing animals, talked about just, running into this problem of dogs that were kept outside, chained outside in many cases. And again, obviously it gets freezing cold there, you know, and, you know, he just, even though that's not really what he does, next thing you know, he was trying to intervene and get them at least shelters or, you know, I mean, but it sounded like it was a real battle. So that must be among the things you're up against. At the same time, even if this might strike people as kind of more narrow focused than some things, I mean, you know, in the animal world, it's so important to do something that is kind of small, that's doable,
Well, that's what I think. People, when I first started, people would say to me, well, what else are you going to focus on? And I'd say nothing. Nothing else, because I knew that the chain dogs would fall to the back burner. I think that's what happens in the bigger organizations. Even though they're against this, they're busy saving lives every day of abandoned animals. And the chained and pen dogs, you know, they are just forgotten about because there's not time to do it all.
Yeah.
So that's why I focus only on this, and we focus only on this, because I think that we'll get a lot further by keeping their focus strict.
Absolutely. I mean, and just in the short time since you guys were launched, if I'm not mistaken, it's already kind of an award-winning organization in this regard.
Yeah.
What is the, was it the ASPCA?
Yeah, ASPCA Pet Protector Award. We won first prize in their Pet Protector Contest. And what this contest is to reward organizations that are doing, you know, unusual things and finding new ways to try to help animals.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
cool.
That was the 2003 award.
Congratulations. That's
Thank
great.
You.
I mean, that's
great.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And we've already got 57 area reps in 21 states, so...
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because it seems like part of the mission very much is urging sort of like-minded people to start a branch of dogs deserve better. So where are those? I mean, just scattered kind of literally across the country?
Yeah, I think we have two or three in California.
I know there's one in Northern California. Is there one or more down here?
And I think there's one down there, too. Renee Snyder, I'm pretty sure, is down lower.
In like L.A. or somewhere in Southern California?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Great.
But
Tamara
actually made national news because she petted a dog and the guy took her to court and it got real. But she made national news, so I'm like,
Took her to court because she petted the dog?
She was out petting the dog and I guess there had been car burglaries in the area, so the cops were watching the area, and they arrested her and thought she was part of this car ring.
Wow.
And she was getting the dog some water and petting it, so it turned into a really nasty thing. But
it brought attention in kind of an interesting way to dogs deserve
some
better.
Media
attention. Oh, that's great.
Somebody told me they heard it on the Rush Limbaugh.
So, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny.
And Tammy is I didn't see this, and so maybe I should have. But on the website, are those branches or contacts or links for those branches listed? So like, if I wanted to find out where the closest dogs.
Yeah, all you have to do is go to the area rep section.
Okay, cool.
And it lists them by state with a phone number and email address.
That's great, yeah, because again, I think people hopefully that are, you know, learning about this, hearing the show today, would want to find out, you know, where their local, you know, closest branch might be. And, and I think, how much is this international yet? I mean, I think there was one, did I read somewhere in Australia?
Australia. He just started a branch down there, so he's moving along. He had to get his own nonprofit structure and everything down there, and he's really, you know, because we're all volunteer. We have one employee so far who works out of my home, but the rest of us are all volunteer, you know.
Wow. What about Canada? Are any branches so far there?
No, we've had a few people interested in it. One time we did have an area rep there, but she dropped out. It's kind of time consuming, and people, I think they take it on, but then they don't realize that, you know, it takes up some of their time.
Yeah, that is tough, but I would think this would be, again, really important to spread into Canada as well.
Yeah, there's a lot in Canada, a lot of chain dogs.
Yeah, and again, you're up against, you know, harsh weather, at least some of the year there.
Exactly.
Well, also, the message and your mission really seem to be taking hold, because, you know, with 57 branches and counting, it's obviously spreading. So, in our remaining moment, and we are just about at the end of our time, Tammy, anything else we should know about Dogs Deserve Better? Any specific programs or events coming up?
Yeah, we're having our Chain Off 2004, July 3rd and 4th. And in that, I'm updating the website right now. It'll be updated later today. But,
okay.
We have a contest, a photo contest, kind of like a photo makeover to take before and after pictures. And what we're asking is that caretakers take their dogs off chains or out of pens for even one day.
Oh, wow.
So, and during that time, take before and after pictures and mail them to us, and we're going to give a prize of $250 for the best before and after pictures that we get.
Before and after of, like, what they look like when they were chained and what...
Yeah, and like off chains, having fun with the family, maybe have the bath, you know, that kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah, so, and the other aspect of that is that I will be chaining myself to a doghouse in State College, PA for 33 hours.
When does that happen?
From July 3rd at 8 a.m. to July 4th at 5 p.m.
Wow, okay, so obviously part of the whole chain off.
Chain off thing and raise awareness, and it's really about contrasting that we're celebrating the freedom of America, and yet here are all these dogs still in prison, still chained outside for life, and many people don't even know that.
Yeah.
You know, so I really want to try to bring awareness to that, so that's why we're taking this kind of bold move this year.
Well, yeah, that, I imagine that is going to get some attention, so that's,
we're hopeful.
Yeah.
We're hopeful, but you never know.
Right. So, okay, well, Tammy, and I think I saw this, but on the site, is there a place if people did want to not only find out information, but just donate directly to
oh, yeah.
the organization?
Yeah,
I think,
we have
right.
donations on the site.
Yeah.
We have a store, we have T-shirts, and we have bumper stickers, and we have four new educational posters people can buy to hang up. So, and you can do all that through the mail, too. So.
Yeah, and also, too, along those lines, I think there's also a, that reminds me of a letter and or a flyer or something that you guys
mm-hmm.
have that people can print off if they want to
yeah.
do something or again, approach their neighbor.
Their
yeah,
mm-hmm.
so.
Yeah. They can print them off and do them on their own.
Great.
Just don't put them directly in the mailboxes because then we get in trouble.
right. You got to be careful. Follow
yeah.
the rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tammy Grimes, again, the website is dogsdeservebetter.com. And, of course, the organization is Dogs Deserve Better. Tammy Grimes, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you, Doctor. Thanks for having
us. Absolutely.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye now. All right. Tammy Grimes from Dogs Deserve Better. Again, website is dogsdeservebetter.com. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI and Irvine, 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. It's time now to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. And it's pretty much like any other version of Name That Tune you care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. So I'll play a snippet of this little number, and there'll be a prize. I mentioned all the cool prizes earlier, at least some of them. Excuse me. And that'll be for the first caller who correctly identifies, in this case, the song or the artist. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, phone us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Okay, it's Talking Animals. It's Name That Animal Tune here on KUCI.
One night, Farmer Brown was taking the air. Locked up the barnyard with greatest of care. Down in the hen house, something stirred. When he hollered, "Who there?" This is what he heard. Ain't nobody here but us chickens. It ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop that fuss. It ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep, and you bust in, and hobba, 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 hobba with your chin. Ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. And drop your fuss, stomping around. It ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep, and you bust in, and hobba, 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 it's a sin. Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig.
All right, can anyone name that animal too? I know Jeff Scott can. He's coming up shortly with The Blues Disease. He came right in and named that animal tune, but sort of seemed unfair. It's kind of an inside job. So if you want to call in with that, we'll still let you while we're wrapping up the show. So I'm Duncan Strauss again. We have indeed reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed in the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to again thank our guest, Tammy Grimes. The website is dogsdeservebetter.com. So check that out. Obviously, it's a cool thing, and she's making some nice inroads and a very, very worthy cause to boot. So I also want to thank you all for listening and for our caller. And I hope you join us next week on Talking Animals when we hope our guest will be Pat Derby, a legendary figure in the animal world. Former animal trainer and founder of PAWS, Performing Animal Welfare Society, which operates those wildlife sanctuaries I mentioned in the news segment in Northern California, including the 2300 ARC 2000, where Not only elephants are living currently in just total, well, relative to the life they've had, total bliss. It's just so inspiring to, I mean, this is huge sprawling area for them. I think there's, between the Asians and the Africans, I think they have 80 to 100 acres just to roam and do what they do. And that's, again, where the remaining tigers from Tiger Rescue will find a home in just a couple weeks' time. So hope you'll join us for that next week, Monday, May 31st, on Talking Animals. A nice way to kick off your Memorial Day morning. By the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone the Serena Sharp Show, which, of course, precedes Talking Animals. And at 5 p.m., we offer Counterspin, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows. Well, let's see if... Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. It's Talking Animals. Hello, you're on live on Talking Animals on KUCI.
I think I can name that tune.
Yes?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Can you? What's your name, first of all?
My name is Liz, and I think it's that there ain't nobody here but us chickens.
That's absolutely right, and you know Jeff Scott's going to be so darn thrilled, as am I. So
I don't know if that was a Clarence Gatemouth Brown. It didn't sound like him, but maybe it was a later version.
Well, it actually was the Clarence Gatemouth Brown version.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Yeah, so you almost get double points for that. So
okay,
I'll
stand by for the gift.
All right. Well, actually, do you have? First of all, you're probably best to email us at talkinganimals@aol.com, and we'll get all your info. But do you have any animals living with you?
Do I have any animal what?
Animals living with you at the moment?
Do I have any animal listeners?
Animals living with you?
Oh, yes, I do. I have Monty the dog and Smokey the cat.
Cool. Well, then, when you email us, we'll try to come up with one or more nice prizes that would be good for Monty the dog and Smokey the cat. So,
that's great.
Yes.
That's lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
I enjoyed the show.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and congratulations for winning Nina Animal Tune. That's
thank
cool.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay,
see you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, so anyway, I want to also say that on the music side of the KUCI schedule, I also host a show called The Dead Air Zone, Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m., and so when you have a chance, please check it out. I want to urge you to also check out our website, talkinganimals.net. When you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also, I encourage you to email me with comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, and anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I really look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, where you can hear lots more cool stuff, new and old, like Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens. So it's really a great, great blues show. You got to check that out. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. Carl, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And any last words that we want to say for people to get involved with the fun drive?
Oh, yeah. Right now we're holding a fun drive, and it's very important that we get, I think our goal is $15,000. We have premiums and people standing by right now, so if you just call right now, the number's 949-824-5824, UCI, KUCI. And if you call, we can help get the station keep on going and maybe make it better, get better signal, and reach more people. It's a very important service we're performing for the community, so I hope you'll help us out.
Absolutely, and everyone here on the air on KUCI, of course, is unpaid. They're just volunteers who love the music that they play or the talk shows that they host, and you know, in many cases, aren't going to find any shows like this anywhere else. So you could help us out. The basic pledge is $30, and if you do that, you receive one item from our list of premiums, which are all available on our website, kci.org. You can see all the cool CDs, T-shirts, gift certificates, tickets to shows, all kinds of neat stuff. And you know, obviously, as you go up to $50 or more, you get more items. And but even if you can't swing 30, $20, we're happy to get anything. So you can also donate online through the website, kci.org, or you can call us again, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So anyways, that's the scoop there. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to Carl. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And please support us here at KUCI. And again, just do what you can with the fund drive. Again, any amount would be appreciated. And as always, we're going to close things out with an animal-related tune. This is the Laurel Canyon Radio Company with a song called Dances with Dogs. We'll see you next week on Talking Animals.
Yeah, don't you just love walking your dog? I mean, I walk my dog every day. I I get up and I have me a cup of coffee and I get the dogs and I get the leashes and I get the bags and I get the biscuits and we hit the street. It's kind of a zen thing, you know, it's like clearing the decks before you start the day, just walking with your dogs. However, if you walk your dogs, you will meet other people walking their dogs. And sometimes, especially if it's a narrow street, and there's a lot of you walking your dogs at the same time, you inadvertently, without choice, enter into a dance, a caravan of the streets, something that happens millions of times a day all over the planet. And to get through, sometimes you have to go under the leash. Sometimes you have to jump over the leash. Sometimes you have to spin around. Sometimes you have to drop the leash. But whatever it takes, you are, will have been, and are participating in what is known, as the Leash Lambada.
Hi, this is Knockout Greg from Knockout Greg and Blue Weather, and you're listening to Jeff Scott, infecting you with the blues disease.
Good morning to you, and welcome to the Blues Disease right here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. My name is Jeff Scott, and it is now time to administer your weekly dosage for 3 hours of long-lasting relief from 10 a.m. all the way up until 1 p.m. this afternoon. And right now, it's Room Full of Blues kicking off our very first set, as heard only right here on KUCI.